Now I'm going to continue just as a beginning here. I'm continuing in the series, Speak the Word Only. And today's message is, if you need a title, it's called Consider Not. That's the name of the message title today. And we're still talking about the Word of God, and we're talking about faith. And to begin this message, I'd like you to go over to 2 Timothy for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. When you get there, say amen. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And it goes on in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And it begins to tell you how you're going to be able to identify what this perilous times is like. Now, when you look up this word perilous, the Greek word is kalopos. And that word is used only one other time in the New Testament. One other time. And this, I believe, signifies where we are today. It is a perilous time that we live in. What does that mean? Perilous, this word kalopos, means dangerous. It's a dangerous time that we live in. It's a fierce time. It's a savage time. It's a troublesome time that we live in. And I'm not going to get sidetracked on all of that, but somebody who is a Greek scholar shared that when he said the last days, now from the time of Pentecost till now, the church is in the last days. But he said this means the last of the last days. He said that's what that means. If you want to, he said, if you want an accurate Greek definition of that last days, he said it's really the last of the last days. This is the time that we live in. And how do I identify that? He said you can read verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 and identify that. But this is a troublesome, a fierce time that we live in. And at no other time do we see you can look on television and look at the preoccupation with death. There's this gravitation towards death. And out of that, you're seeing demonic activity. This is a fierce, dangerous time that we live in. But I'm so glad that faith can overcome that. And it's going to require faith to be able to walk through this time, because men's hearts will fail them because of some of these things that are coming upon the earth. But the man or woman of God that's full of faith and walking in faith and faith in God will walk through it, because who did we have as an example? Jesus. And so when we look, I'll just share the other scripture verse. You can go over to, just for your reference, the other reference of that word dangerous, kalopos, or perilous times, is in Matthew 8 And you can look here, you're familiar with this account here of Jesus when he went to the other side. It said he got into the ship and he calmed the storm with his words, and they marveled at it. And then in verse 28, and he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce. That word fierce is kalapos, dangerous, fierce, savage. And you can see here, it said what? So that no man might pass by that way. See, there are going to come times where it's going to be so dangerous to even go into an area. But with God, I'll go. I'm reminded of Corey and Natalie Marshall in northern Afghanistan. And he said that they went into an area. The Holy Ghost directed them to go into an area further north than they are, and the U.S. Army wouldn't even go in. It was too dangerous. Fierce. Dangerous. But they went in and did what they had to do and did these humanitarian things that they were doing. And after that was done, well, you know, he tells the story how they were putting in water wells for drinking. And he said that the locals had stolen all the equipment. They stole all the pipe. They stole all everything. They stole it. And he said, you know, they were thinking about not going back. But he said, no, we're going to replace it at our own expense. And they replaced it, went back in again, and installed it. And he said not long after that, these turbaned, bearded men who were Taliban came to his village where he and Corey, where he and Natalie stay, crying, weeping, thanking him for bringing water to their village. With God, all things are possible. And seeds are being planted more powerful than guns. And so God's going to take us into places that are dangerous and perilous, but with the Holy Ghost. And I'm reminded that when we were out at Rhema, you can see it online. It was a Tuesday, Pastor Lynette was leading in prayer, as she does. And a very, very heavy, heavy anointing, for greatest I've ever seen. She lay hands on you, she almost fall out. It was so powerful. They two men had to hold her up. And she began to prophesy. She called Pastor Greg and myself out also in that meeting, laid hands on us, and Deacon Phyllis. And she called out this couple. I recognize them, but I've never met them before. And we met them. They were sitting in front of us in the pews, and we spent a few minutes talking with them. They're in China. And they've already graduated students out of China. Now, it's not publicized because of the area, but they are graduating students. And I recall the Holy Ghost speaking words over them, that I will guide you and I will speak to you and protect you and speak to you and alert you of harm and harm's way. See, you're going to need that when you go into those areas. He's going to wake you up and say, go this way, don't go that way. But with God, we're going to get the job done. So in this time that we live in, it's a perilous time. It's a dangerous time that we live in. And at no other time are we going to need to get faith in operation in our lives. This is not a time to sit back and wait. This is a time where we're going to advance and take back things for God and reach out and take cities and towns and areas where people have been held in bondage by demon spirits, and they've been held sway by sickness and depression and racial tensions and all of these things. It's a spirit. And the people of God are going to be motivated and moved by God and operate in faith. See? And that's why I'm excited about Friday nights, that we're being used by God to intercede and travail and break down strongholds in regions. And if you don't think so, come out on Friday night. Now let's turn over for a few minutes to Mark 11. And let's take a look at this for a moment. Familiar scripture, and it said, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." And some translations say, "Have the faith of God." But we're going to, that is one key thing to never forget. It's not just having faith in the promises of God, it's having faith in God. Never forget that. And that word, and I'm going to just read some definitions, and they're key in this lesson today, and I'd encourage you to get this message and listen to it over and over and feed upon it. But that word, if you look it up and you take the time to look it up, that word faith means, or is a Greek word called pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. Now, very interesting, and I'm going to just read some of the definitions that it is. It's a conviction. This is out of Strong's. And then I'm going to read just a few definitions out of Vine's Expository Dictionary. But it's a conviction of the truth of anything. It's a conviction. It's a belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. It's a faith in God. It's a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. The conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things. Now, this is out of Vines. Faith, pistis, is a confidence. How many have heard? We've heard. Faith, confidence, interchangeable. So it's a confidence. It's a persuasion. And also, Vine says, it's a firm persuasion. How many are persuaded about certain things? We all have persuasions. We all have certain convictions. Those persuasions and convictions, that's your faith. Faith in what? They should be in God. Faith in God. My persuasion and my convictions are in God. And that Jesus is the Christ. He is God. So, listen to this. Faith is a conviction based upon hearing. Faith is a conviction based upon hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. So convictions, faith, confidence, persuasions come by what you hear. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5 and chapter 7. Familiar scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And so often, when we talk about faith in some of the circles that we're in, when we hear faith, people think, well, I have faith for what I want, faith for my needs. See, but faith is more than that. Would you not agree? Faith, if you look at this, for we walk by faith. If you look that word up in the Greek, it means to walk, to progress, to regulate one's life. Well, that's more than just your wants. That's more than just your needs. That means everything that's about you, to conduct oneself. So walking by your faith and living by your faith covers every area of your life. Every area of your life, faith does. That means your marriage, your parenting skills, your job, your children, not just your needs and your wants. Faith covers every area of your life. If you don't think so, go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and begin to go back towards verses 33, 34, 35, 36, and you look at what faith covered. The just, I'm going to just say this here, the just, it says, shall live by what? Oh, what is faith? Faith is a conviction. Faith is a firm persuasion. So we could say the just shall live by their convictions. The just shall live by their what? Firm persuasions. The just shall live by their belief. Yes? So every one of us has convictions about how we should conduct ourselves on the job. Some of us, we all have persuasions about how we should conduct ourselves on the job, don't we? I'm not here to ask you what they are. But if I'm going to walk by my convictions, if I'm going to walk by faith in God and what He has said, then what should my convictions, walking by faith and not by sight, what should my conviction be? We're to work as unto the Lord and not as unto men. That should be my conviction. That should be my persuasion. Should it not? If I'm going to walk by faith, faith in who? Faith in God. So we are to walk by our convictions and not by what we see. We are to walk by our persuasions and not by what we see. Let me read this scripture to you. Let's make it more plain. I'll read it to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's my conviction. So it really doesn't matter how you act towards a person or a person acts to you. You are to walk by your conviction. You are to walk by your persuasions that you love even though when you're not being loved. What are you persuaded of? Husbands and wives, what are you persuaded of? Husbands, do you love your wives as Christ loved the church, even though your wife acts contrary? Are you persuaded to love? And wives, are you there to love your husband and give them the due respect even when they don't respect you? Oh, it gets quiet. But are you operating by your convictions? That's faith. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. And if you think enough on something, and you think about what you see and feel and hear, that may be how you operate. That may become your conviction. Well, they act this way. I ain't giving them nothing. They can cook their own dinner. Forget them. They can sleep on the couch. But that's where people live. Unfortunately, that's where Christians live. How do I know? We listen to them on the phone when they call. We listen to the children on how the parents act at home. They shout and jump and holler when they're here, and then when they go home, they have some other type of convictions. So what does that mean? That their convictions have been corrupted, and their persuasions are different. And so I'm not here to judge that, but I'm saying we are to walk by our convictions and our beliefs. Beliefs and convictions in who? God. In His Word. And not by what we see. Because the times that we live in are dangerous times. And the devil's pulling out the stops. And we've got to recognize that and make the adjustments. God is looking for a people to walk this thing. Regulate your life by His Word. And I can tell you, every little opportunity that the devil attempts, if you give it to him, he'll take it. If you want to turn on the TV and look at zombies, go right ahead. If you want to turn the TV on and watch the reality shows, you go right ahead. Because what you're doing is you're going to start feeding on the convictions and persuasions of the world. And it's seeds of corruption that you're planting. And the times that we live in, they're fierce times. They're dangerous times. And we need to recognize it and not play with it. And we need to recognize that we walk by faith and not by sight. One of the things that we put our confidence on, and things, if you put your confidence in man, and when I say man, that can cover a lot of things. That can be a doctor, that can be a lawyer, that can be an accountant. That can be the President of the United States. That can be this government. You put your trust in man, and you're going to be disappointed. Sooner or later, you're going to have the rug pulled out from under you, and you're going to end up disappointed because your trust and faith must be in God. Now, when it comes to some of the things that we have convictions about, when the doctor, and it could be a doctor that you put your trust in, if your faith is not in God, at some point in your life, you may hear a doctor say to you, "I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. Go home, prepare yourself to die." And they may be very nice when they tell you. My question is, now what are you going to do? What are your convictions and your persuasions at that point? Because I can tell you, I didn't have a doctor tell me, I had the Holy Ghost tell me, you're going to die. He told me. And I just said, okay, what do I do? And he told me, go to the doctor. Get this checked. And in a number of months, it turned around from a dietary change. Didn't take any medicine. Initially, I did, but then threw it out. But what I'm saying to you is the first person you run to, the thing that you run to and put your trust in, is basically what you put all of your confidence in. And it better not be in man. Because man, at some point, they may want to help you. Look, I want to help you. I'm really sorry, but I can't. I've done everything I can. There's nothing else I can do. But God, faith in God will get you through. Faith in God, you can overcome. And that's the times that we live in. And if you don't think so, I was showing something to Pastor Greg the other day. I read on the internet. I mean, the stuff that they're doing today in our foods that you aren't even aware of. And I'm not here to teach on health, but I looked at that and I said, you've got to be kidding me. When I read this article, I said, you have got to be kidding. FDA approved. And you're guzzling away. Glug, glug, glug. And I thought, this is the time that we live in. It's a perilous, dangerous time that we live in. And you better have your antennas up than when God says to you, don't go there, don't eat this, stop this, don't watch that, you better. I'll tell you, I remember just some thoughts that I had when the Nanuet Mall was in full operation over there. I was over there just kind of window shopping one day. Just, you know how you do, you walk and you're just taking some time. And I was walking through just kind of window shopping. And I kind of started to browse. And I went into this store. I walked over because everything's open, right? The sliding doors are open, all glass. I walked into the store and it was like, choo! And I said, "Ooh, what is this?" And I walked into the store. And I walked in about 20 feet, and I heard down here, get out of this store now. And I was like, whoa. Okay. And because I wasn't really paying attention. I'm kind of just looking. And when he spoke and I looked up, there were all kinds of gargoyles and statues and stuff in this store. And I said, out we go. And the thought occurred to me, I said, how many folks would just kind of, oh, isn't this cute? Let's buy one. Let's get it. And aren't listening to the Holy Ghost and put themselves in a harmful place. And that's what I'm talking about. What are your convictions? What are your persuasions? Are you walking with your antennas up? Are you listening to the Holy Ghost? Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And look at verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, taking the shield of your convictions. Above all, taking the shield of your persuasions. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. We're talking about your conviction in God. We're talking about your persuasion in God and His Word. You take that shield of conviction, and what does that say? It'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Just looking at it another way. Let's turn to Mark 5, another familiar scripture. Mark chapter 5. This is the woman with the issue of blood. Look at verse 25. It says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." And now listen. "When she had heard," what is the conviction from? From what you've heard. Right? And we read in Vines, faith comes from a conviction from what you've heard. What does it say here? "When she heard of Jesus," right? "Came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" And then down in verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Thy convictions. "Daughter, thy persuasions hath made thee whole." What are you convinced about? What are you persuaded about? That's what's going to make you whole, if it's the Word of God. Because it's the same thing. Faith is a conviction. It's a confidence. It's a firm persuasion. So we could use the same thing. Luke 5. Let's go to Luke 5, verse 19. Luke 5, verse 19. Is it 19? 19 and 20. Now, this is the wrong rendering. Sorry. But this is where, I just copied the wrong scripture. But this is where they let the man down through the roof. Is that it? Yeah. I don't need to read it. But he let, the men let the man down through the roof, and Jesus saw their faith. He saw his faith. He saw their convictions. He saw their persuasions. He saw their faith. People, you know, when you're around people, you can tell what they're convinced about. You can tell what they're persuaded about. First of all, because it's what they talk about, and what you talk about is your faith speaking. It's your convictions. That's what you talk about. And when you have faith in God, you're going to talk about it. That's what you're convinced of. You're not going to be convinced. And the reason I say that, some folks, when they have a bad report from a doctor, they become convinced of that and not God and not the Word of God. What are you convinced of? That's what we speak. That's what we express. That's what should be in your heart. Let's go to, this is the centurion, Luke 7. Let's go to Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. And this is, of course, this is talking about the centurion. And of course, verse 80 says, "For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great convictions, no, not in Israel. I have not found so great firm persuasion, no, not in Israel." What's the testimony that people have of us when they meet us? Or do they say, "That person is convinced. That person has a firm persuasion in this area"? I'd like to have that testimony, wouldn't you? That I'm unshakable with my convictions and my persuasions in God. Because this is a dangerous time that we live in. It's perilous times, and you need to have a firm persuasion about what you believe. It's not a time to play anymore. You need to know in whom you believe and be convinced, and you need to be convinced of what you believe. See, we're not being fed on milk anymore. You need to be a person that can sit down and convince somebody that they need Jesus. Why? Because you're convinced. You're persuaded. Now, here's another let's go to Hebrews 11:6. There's a couple of other scriptures I wanted to bring in, but I'm going to leave this alone right now. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, without conviction, without a firm persuasion, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It's impossible to please God without a firm persuasion and conviction of God and his word. Can't please him. Now, for the next few minutes, let's go to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at verse 16. 16 through 19. Verse 16. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith, which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead." Who quickeneth the dead? God does. "And calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Now let's look at verse 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, one thing you can do to make this clear, read this scripture like this in verse 19. Take the word not out. And being weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead. You can have faith, I'm going to say this, you can have faith, you can have a conviction and a persuasion, and you can consider something and be in unbelief. This said here, Abraham considered not his own body now dead. Now this word considered in the Greek, there are some definitions to it, but I want to highlight two in particular. It means to consider attentively. It means to fix one's eyes or mind upon. He did not fix his eyes or his attention or his mind upon the fact that he was 100 years old. He considered not his physical condition. And what does the scripture say? Being not weak in faith, he did not consider that his body was 100 years old. So when one begins to get over into considering their conditions, you're weak in faith. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. When we consider our circumstances, you're weak in faith. And this is not the time to be weak in faith. This is the time to be strong in faith, because of the times that we live in. And we don't want to find ourselves considering our circumstances, especially the circumstances that we've been delivered from and the person that we've been delivered from. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We're not subject to him. So I don't have to consider what he throws at me. So often we'd heard Brother Hagin just say, laugh at the circumstances. Just laugh at them and keep stepping. You'd heard Smith Wigglesworth. You've heard all of them that have walked through their Christian life. And when confronted with circumstances, what did they do? They laughed at them. And so when we begin to consider the circumstances, you open doors. Now, am I saying that you shouldn't consider going to a doctor? Because I know somebody's thinking, well, what do you mean? Shouldn't I consider going to the doctor? Shouldn't I consider this? Only thing you should consider is your faith in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. So the only thing that we're to do is to seek him, acknowledge him, and get direction from him. That's what you should set your attention upon, not on the circumstances. Don't fix your attention and your mind upon it. Because when you do, it'll affect your faith. Amen. It'll affect your convictions. It'll affect your firm persuasion. That which you set your mind on and meditate upon will affect you. And so when we, today we are not to consider our circumstances. Consider not, but be strong in faith. Now let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. So if I'm not to consider my sick body, I'm not to consider the financial situation I'm in, I'm not to consider that my family is coming apart at the seams, if I'm not to consider what's going on with my children, if I'm not to consider that, what am I supposed to consider? What am I? That's a good question. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider, it's the same word, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, who? Christ Jesus. That's who we're supposed to consider. We're to fix, that word to fix your attention, your gaze, your thoughts, your mind, fix one's attention upon him. That's who we're to fix our attention upon. That's who we are to consider to get direction. Amen? The NIV says, therefore, holy brethren, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. You're in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Look at verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. It says, let us consider one another. That's what our attention, that's what our focus should be on. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The Good News Translation says, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. I'm not to consider what someone does to me. I'm to do what? I'm to provoke. I'm to consider that I'm to walk in love and do good towards one another. And so we are not to consider certain things, and we are to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession or our convictions. Our persuasions, because that's what we're going to profess. And we're to consider that and not consider the environment and the circumstances that we're in. We are world changers. We are atmosphere changers. We are environment changers. And the believer is to go in and to use the power of God to change, not be changed. Why? Because I'm convinced. I have convictions. I have faith in God. I have belief in God. And with him, we're going to change this atmosphere. We're going to change this city. We're going to change this nation. And I'm not going to be moved by what I see or hear. Amen. Glory to God. Now, you know, when you think about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, and it said he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. When you think about that, he'd already had some experience, didn't he? You look at Genesis 22, he considered some things not there, didn't he? When he had to bring his son up at God's direction and he said, sacrifice him. He had to consider not. So he already had walked through some things, didn't he? He didn't consider that. What did he say? He said, we're going to go worship and we're going to come back again. So he had some convictions and some persuasions and beliefs in God that he was going to raise up his son from the dead. Why? Because he had promised him something. And so I say the same thing to you. As I said at the beginning of this message, if God has spoken something to you personally and in his word, that's your conviction, that's your persuasion, that is your faith. And you don't budge from it, and you don't consider the things that you're walking through. You consider what God has spoken to you. You consider that. And you will see what God has promised you. But when you consider it, it'll affect your faith. So how many do I have in here that are going to say, I'm not going to consider what I'm walking through. I am going to consider God. I'm going to consider my convictions, my persuasions, my faith, my belief. I believe God. I consider him and what he said, what he's promised. And I am an overcomer. I am a believer. And I'm convinced. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father, for strengthening us, for encouraging us, for reminding us that we are not to consider our circumstances, but to consider you, the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you, Father, for guiding us and directing us in the truth and revealing it. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.